Before we get on to what keeps you awake at night, Deb sent us this text, and it's about the koalas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interest in your plans
to
send the koalas off to Longleat in the UK. Deb asks, won't it be too cold in the UK for them? Our climate is quite different. It may get cold in Cleveland, but nowhere near as cold, freezing as it does in the UK.
It's a great question, and Deb is quite right. It is very cold in the area around Salisbury and Bath, where these koalas and wombats are both destined for. So there's two answers to that. The first is that Longleat have invested in excess of £1 million in building koala and wombat enclosures about half the size of Adelaide Oval, which have warm areas and enclosed areas as well as outside areas. And the warm ones are so they're thermally regulated, they're inside, so the koalas and the wombats can move inside and spend time on those colder days and the colder months. Much like we've done with the pandas here.
Right.
So these enclosures, they have to meet very, very, very strict federal regulations. And also we here in South Australia have set a brutal set of conditions around how these are to be built to house these animals. And in fact, our senior curator is on his way there now to sign off, and he's got an extensive checklist around the conditions there. And of course, we've been working with them on their design and construction for some year or so now.
Also, koalas do they turn up in the highlands in the eastern states where it snows? So, and they got fairy coats.
That's right. In fact, the species we have here, the southern koala, is much more a cold adapted temperate animal than the northern one. And there are northern ones in Edinburgh, and they do okay, and in fact have bred.
Right.
But ours are much larger. They have much thicker coats, and they're much more used to the cold anyway. Not that that's enough, because we're looking at a step decrease in temperature, if you like, over there. So you need these thoroughly, carefully constructed enclosures with warm and cold insides and outsides to house the animals. There's a couple of other things about the process that we've been getting a lot of calls about, because moving koalas is not like moving a cat or a dog in a dog box in the cargo hold of your local aeroplane. So I want to tell you a bit about that too. Absolutely not.
Wouldn't it be just the same as a dog? And I mean that quite seriously, or a cat, because it's a marsupial, it's a mammal. I mean, it's got a furry coat. You give it something to eat, you put it in a box.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, there's no way you can do that.
My chance of getting a job at the department?
Zero. You're likely to be clubbed to death by all of the keepers up at Cleveland for daring to mention that. To start with, the koalas are arboreal animals, so they're used to sitting up in trees and looking around. And like cats and dogs, they have their own personalities, their own characteristics, their own foibles, their own. Some are brighter than others, as we've talked about before, and some are more adaptable. So there's a whole mass of working. We don't really call it training. We actually work with our koalas, and we start from when they're really pouch young. All of our koalas in this process and program are bred in captivity up at Cleveland, and our carers and keepers start to get to know their animal from a very young age and understand its personality and its characteristic and whether it's going to be appropriate for going through this program. So we started off with about 12 koalas. We're down to 6 now who followed through. The others have gone into other programs because they're not the right koalas.
You're looking for a koala with the right stuff.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So they need to be outgoing. They need to want to connect with people. They need to be calm. They need to be able to respond well
to the... We could send them the grumpy ones. The dopey grumpy ones. Send them to Weymouth in Longleat and we're just left with the good ones.
No way. We are sending the absolute best, the ones that will work with the keepers to after the last 4 or 5. So and they've been in a program actually for almost 2 years, getting to know the keepers.
Right.
And the Longleat keepers have been out here working with
right.
them. And so they have to go in, learn how to go into a box with a perch and sit there and take the food and listen to their keepers. And then we put the box, we've just started this program, in the back of a truck and drive them around so they get used to cars, because that's a really big thing.
So we're going to be left with the dopey, grumpy ones.
Yes, that's true. You're a bit stuck on this point. Mind you, they've gone into the breeding program. So 3 of our dopey ones have already got young Joeys in the pouches.
I suppose because Longleat is going to want to have a similar experience to Cleveland with people holding these bears. you don't want a grumpy bear because they can really do you some
well,
damage.
Well, that's exactly right. So whether they go all the way into hold or whether they do just the perch, absolutely. You've got to have ones that are also able to move from our keepers here to new keepers. So they've got to be people. They're going to be people koalas.
People koalas.
And if you don't have a people koala, you have one that will get very stressed. So they do that. And we've been playing them aeroplane noises so that they can get used to the airports and the sounds of takeoffs and landings and those sorts of things.
So you've been in there with a hostess saying, you know, in the event of a crash, the air masks will drop from the ceiling and this is how you'll find your...
We've been playing them. I just spent yesterday with the staff. We play them helicopter noises. We play them jet noises. We play them propeller noises.
You find your life jacket under the seat.
So they know all of this sound. And then when it comes to actually moving them, so they've spent all of this time working with the carers. So that they will go to different people, they will understand people, they'll go into and out of the box, they're happy with the noise.
Right.
Then comes the big day. This is huge because it's about 30 hours to go from Adelaide to London.
Yes.
And a bit longer to go all the way to Longleat.
Well, they'll be in business class.
Even better, there will actually be a chartered plane, all by Longleat, or charter a plane. The animals, having been used to cars, will be given a police escort to Adelaide Airport. They'll then be carried in a specially chartered plane in the cabin. There's no cargo hold here. In the cabin with Longleat carers, with Clearland carers, with Clearland vet and Longleat vet. This is all at Longleat expense to go to Heathrow.
Can I have a ride?
It's amazing. They will be fed and regularly checked and health checked. The keepers will talk to the koalas through the boxes. They'll get to Heathrow, then they'll get a police escort. All the lights turn green from Heathrow to Longleat.
Wait a minute. Seriously, why do you need a police escort?
Because you want to be able to get them there as fast as possible. No. They are more carefully treated than I think the High Commissioner when he arrives. I'm sorry, Mr. Dowder, but the koalas and the wombats are more important.
Oh, so this will be a hoot.
It's amazing, but this makes sure, of course, that they are the right koalas with the right stuff,
yes,
minimally stressed and fed there, and then when you got there. The other thing about the climate that Deb had mentioned is that we've had some questions about, well, won't the gum leaves freeze over in England?
That is a really good question.
It's a brilliant question. And in fact, the answer is sometimes yes, they do.
Right.
So Longleat
just
have
frozen food.
Well, it takes all the nutrients out of the gum leaves, would you believe it? Or the single nutrient
there's not a lot of nutrients in a gum leaf.
So you certainly don't want to freeze them.
Oh, that's true.
So we've got several sources for gum leaves over there, including a place in Devon that has a large eucalypt plantation, and it's called McFoliage. Would you believe it? I just love the name.
Who thought that up?
Obviously, some guy in England, obviously a Scotsman, running the gum plantations there. So he provides the six species of eucalypt that the koalas want, and also the wombat food as well. And then if that fails, then we've got plans C and D, which are plantations in Europe and also in Florida. And, of course, we have a contract with Longleat to provide foliage
as well.
In an emergency as well. All of this paid for by Longleat. So this is why you need a really big player if you're going to be dealing with koalas. Because this is all in our instructions to them about the only way we'll do business is this way with these animals.
And this all happens around October.
Yes. So with any luck, we'd be able to involve ABC listeners with an outside broadcast and maybe a few other wonderful things as we send off our koala ambassadors to England in a way that I'm sure the High Commissioner would love to go.
Well, what do you reckon, listeners? Are we up for it? We'll have one of these. We haven't had a Chris Daniels outside broadcast for ages, so I reckon that's the way to go. Around October, because I've been saying when we're boxing them up, more than boxing them up.
No, my Lord. This is not boxing anything up.
So we'll try and get an outside broadcast up at Clearland and get as many of you up there as we possibly can for this.